See Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think let's maybe get to the Claire news at the end because I kind of want to
zip.
Because that's, yeah, that's the treat.
Yes.
You can have a little Claire Crawley talk as a treat.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley. Dear Peter Weber, we boarded your flight. We ate our free snacks and drank our beverages. We watched lots of drama unfold on our in-seat screens. But now we need you to ace this landing and welcome us home, please. Because, like you, we're drained.
And also extremely excited about Claire Crawley's Bachelorette casting news. We're so ready to say goodbye to 23-year-old influencers and hello to a 38-year-old independent woman. So, deplane the influencers, board them up with age-appropriate men.
A new takeoff.
Aren't on TikTok. Joining us today to talk through the Women Tell All, which was pretty inconsequential, is our very dear friend of the pod, who we're so excited to have back, actress Allison Williams.
Hi.
Welcome back.
This was the best episode of television I've ever seen.
You're lying, right?
Yeah.
Of course I'm
to
lying.
To be clear, I got an email from Allison last night that
like
said,
5 minutes
can I
in.
Turn it off and still do the show tomorrow? I was like, honestly, there's not much happened, so no, maybe we can just... We can be like women yelled at each other.
Yeah. But what unites the us end. Is our hope that something might happen. And that's how we end up watching 2 hours every Monday night.
Exactly. Yep. And I was like, what did I just watch? How did they possibly fill 30 minutes with like every 30 minutes? I was like, they can't possibly have more.
There's no
it
more.
It was literally 9:06. And I looked at my clock like, well, what else is going to happen? Like, what else is there to discuss?
I mean,
but they had more.
Yeah. I think let's maybe get to the Claire news at the end because I kind of want to zip. Because that's, yeah, that's the treat.
Yes.
You can have a little Claire Crawley talk as a treat.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
First, let's get into Women Tell All. I have to say, no Kelly and no Natasha was real rough.
We needed them.
We really needed them.
It's like the two people that I actually care to hear from.
Mm-hmm. The adults.
Yeah.
The moderators.
No, Kelly wasn't invited, right?
Yeah, apparently Kelly was not invited by production. Natasha was, but couldn't go. She said on her Instagram last night, like, I was invited, but life stuff. Like, I wasn't able to go. I'd heard a rumor that she chose not to, but she was invited. Kelly was apparently not invited. And
why?
She just went to L.A. to hang out with the girls.
Because she's so anti-establishment.
Yeah, I think she's like, too much of an outsider.
She's exhausted.
She doesn't play the game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Watching her this season was like, I've dreamt of this experiment every time I've watched the show.
I know.
Like, what would happen if someone who just isn't really bought into the air quotes journey, but is kind of like, yeah, I met this guy.
He's
I think he's hot.
Cute.
Yeah. And we had chemistry. So I'm going to go see if I can date him alongside with a gazillion other women. And we saw what happened. And
what happens is you don't get invited to
dear
the
father
tell
did
all.
Not like it.
Yeah. Not invited.
Daddy
home.
Chris Harrison.
Daddy Chris. Wow. Well, we missed them last night. Oh, boy, did we miss them.
Yeah. I mean, first, though, we head back to the Gold Coast.
Yes.
As you may have forgotten, as I did, there was also the end of last week's episode in this week. Victoria is being pensive, looking on a balcony, she's very monotone.
Yes, she is very... The transcript of what she's saying would be hard for a professional actress to perform with less conviction. I'm very in love with Peter. I've never thought I could feel this way about someone. Is kind of the vibe.
She's like, Peter's love is very pure.
It's so pure.
Yes. It was interesting hearing that word out of her
Again.
Mouth after hometowns, yeah. hearing it so many times.
A different
times.
Context.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
Say.
Anyway, I'm sure, well, whatever.
Yeah, she is in love with him. Hannah Ann.
Putting on lip gloss.
So many layers.
Oh, but here, wait. I had such sympathy for her because that is not her actual lip gloss application. That was for camera. And so she's like very carefully dabbing over it without trying to disrupt. Of course, she was ready.
Yeah.
So she's trying not to disrupt what's already there, which was put there very deliberately and carefully. Yeah. I've been in that boat. I just did it a couple weeks ago. It's not easy.
You're like, I worked hard on this lip gloss
application. Exactly.
Don't make me ruin it.
And sometimes they have you angle your face towards the camera so you're not actually looking at your own reflection in the mirror. You're looking at like a fake eyeline in the mirror that's not your face. So you have to be very careful. You're not lip glossing your chin.
Hence the dabbing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now I have more empathy for Hannah Ann. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
She's ready to meet Peter's family. She wants to dive deeper. She also just says she speaks in platitudes and it's pretty incredible. She's like, Peter has redefined what love means to me. Like, what does that mean?
She speaks
she
in,
also
like, romance
says she's
novel
never been
terms.
In love. So, like, what did love mean before? How has he redefined it?
And for
it?
How long?
Like, I have a lot of questions. I have follow-ups.
You do?
Yeah.
We got to get Hannah Ann here eventually.
Do we? She seems lovely.
She's so sweet.
She's
I
so
just
nice.
Don't know what would happen if you pushed her to answer those questions in more detail.
She's too agreeable.
I don't think there are details to be had.
No,
you're
no.
right. Yeah. But I like her. I think she's very, she seems like a very kind person and is putting up with a lot.
Yes.
At this point.
And we see next week that she might be coming to the end of her rope, which
I
will be
so
the most I like her.
Excited.
100%
yeah.
like, will be the most.
Have a breakdown.
You got to give me something. I'm
oh
like,
my God.
Yes, he does.
That promo was, well, yeah, it was definitely the most I've liked her. I'm
me
like,
too.
Yes, you're a human, not a robot.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's bound to happen.
Pete, on the other hand, looks completely defeated in his chat with Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm like, this process has aged him.
It is. I saw someone posted last night a side-by-side of like Pete at the very beginning of the season to him at the end, and it's like presidents into their term and at the other
it's
end
Obama.
Of their term.
I think I said to Lee last night, I was like, it's like Obama.
Yeah.
Like, he's
minus
grayed.
The scar.
The responsibility just ages you. The years of service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
service
the scar,
to Bachelor
it's
Nation.
Just not healing well.
Except
so.
At the Women Tell All.
It looked great.
Fab.
I
wonder
much
if he went to a plastic surgeon in LA.
I was
going to
say, I feel like he got some better sorts of treatment and creams after because
it looks great. Plus, makeup probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can cover
like,
it up.
Get that scar out of the sun.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised that
the
makeup people on the show haven't, like,
they're like,
maybe they want to play it up.
There's nothing
also,
we can do.
We know about it. So it's
true.
Not like we think, is that a long zit?
Yeah.
Or it's like a scar we
but
are
it
very...
is distracting.
It is.
I find myself assessing the scar's healing every...
Well, it's symbolic.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
I feel like an English major thinking about the scar all over again.
Yeah, Chris says, Pete looks like a man who has the weight of the world on his shoulders.
And he does. And
he sure does.
It is the world.
The weight of this.
Women's love.
Did you hear that he's in charge of coronavirus response?
Honestly, I would trust him more than Mike Pence, so I'll take it.
He's very busy and burdened, and you can see it in the scars.
You
like,
can really see it. It's so freaking hard, as he says.
I mean, is Peter properly disinfecting the planes that he flies?
Definitely.
This is what I
we would
to
hope so.
Peter's like, you know, I had this amazing date with Hannah Ann. She is a sweet, beautiful heart.
Oh, what you know, she's one of the sweetest, most beautiful hearts I've ever met.
Yeah. she's a physical heart walking on her.
I wonder
ventricles
if
ventricles
like,
pumping.
You know, he has a fetish for hearts.
You know in Looney Tunes when someone's hungry and they see a person but it's just a steak?
Yeah.
Like a chunk of meat. Like, I think he just sees them all walking towards him and they're just cardiovascular.
Yeah,
it's just like
exposed hearts.
Like the organ.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's definitely the organ. It's not some like doodled heart. It's
no,
the full
no, it's
organ.
The full organ.
Yeah.
And it's a sweet and beautiful one.
And there's one organ missing, and that's Madison. She's nowhere to be found.
And boy, does he care more about that than literally anything
else.
It's so clear that
Madison is his pick.
I know.
He's like, yeah, Victoria, we had a good date. It was real. Very real. That's the only thing he has to say about Victoria. It's so real. And he's just unsure if Madison's even going to show up. This was a real cruelty to the other two women.
They were so cold.
They were freezing.
Their shoulders were at their ears.
Just give them a coat.
Like,
just give them a jacket.
A freaking jacket. There are cute coats out there.
I know. And also, when Hannah Ann got her rose, she hugged Peter for so long.
Like,
and I was like, it's for warmth, probably like 25% for warmth. Because she's like, you're wearing
a shivering
jacket. I know.
And
so mean.
And knowing how long production takes on this show,
it's probably 2 hours
I'm
of them
sure
just
they
on
were
that.
Standing
yeah.
there in silence
and
for
they're
hours.
Not moving exactly.
Right,
it's just
there's no
cold.
Movement. It's a lot of wind, as we heard. It was all up in the mics, and at one point, you know, Hannah and Victoria are trying to be like not speak because they know they're mic'd, but then they just start whispering each other like, "Let's get this show on the road. Where's Madison?"
They're so polite.
It was very relatable, though.
I'd be like, I need a warming tent. I need sex space heaters right around me.
Also, like, I am not good at receiving not a lot of information and being told to wait, like, in stasis. So mm-hmm. I would have been pissed off. I would have been ruined.
One of the many reasons I look forward to older bachelors and bachelorettes.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
What? What are you asking of me?
Coats or blankets, or can we go inside? Yeah.
This is
find
unacceptable.
This woman.
finally, Madison shows up and she talks to Chris and she's like, yeah, I'm not great. This week didn't go the way I hoped it would. And, you know, she's falling in love with Peter, but she doesn't know. I think, and I want to get your guys' take, I think this worked in her favor.
Oh, 100%.
She's like withholding from Peter and
he's unraveling.
It reminded me of Courtney. It's a really good strategy to be mad. To be mad at the Bachelor works if you're with a people pleaser,
mm-hmm. and if they like you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's crucial. But it was Courtney, right? With
Courtney
Ben.
Robertson.
With Ben.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was mad at him and like giving him kind of the cold shoulder. And I think it's more it's coming from a deeper place with Madison. Probably like this is a moral thing that she has.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's being malicious with it.
No, but I think
it works
hugely to her advantage because she's keeping him on his toes, as they would say, on another reality dating show.
And Pete loves the chase.
Oh, yeah.
He just loves that tension. He needs to pull something out of someone. Before anything happens, Peter starts crying.
Oh, yeah. And so does Hannah Ann immediately.
I know. I think she's the type of person where, like, when she sees someone else cry, she starts to cry, which I relate to.
Yeah. But the best, too, is when they see her and Victoria just whispers, "She's here."
She's...
And
because,
Hannah Ann goes, Oh.
Yeah. That was very good.
Oh.
They were just like, yeah, we've been here for 3 hours.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you, dude. Yeah, fuck you were this. In the warmth. Finally, Peter picks up the rose after telling the women, you know, he knows he's about to hurt one of them. It's destroying him. They have a piece of his heart.
I was just going to say, I wrote that down.
A real theme
they
here.
They took a piece of his heart and stuck it onto them.
He's performing a lot of surgeries.
Yes.
He should have been a surgeon, not a pilot.
Yeah, make him a cardiovascular surgeon. Put him on Grey's Anatomy. He would thrive. And he finally picks up the rose and gives it, after sniffling into his mic very loudly,
sniffle, sniffle,
to Hannah Ann.
And yes, like Allison mentioned, they hug
for
very
so long.
Very long and I honestly, like, sometimes that's an edit, but I think they probably tried to edit down the hug as much as possible. And I was like, this hug is so long, there's only one explanation, which is that
she's
just
freezing.
Body warmth.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's freezing.
She would be hugging the rest of the girls like that if she could, just for warmth.
I know. Then, you know, Peter picks up the second rose, and there was really, like, a metaphor in it. The camera zooms in, and a petal just flies off of it in the wind.
The wind is just...
He calls Madison's name and she just like ignores him for a beat. Again, very effective. She's like,
she just looks down. Yeah.
I don't know. This really felt young. I feel like enough of an elder at this point compared to the contestants.
In Bachelor world,
we're grandparents, I think.
Yeah.
I just was like, this is not being handled in a very adult, productive way.
There was
way.
Some passive aggression.
That's what I mean.
Happening.
It's like, there's no time for that. You have to just be.
Also, either you're there and you've chosen to
exactly,
be there,
yeah.
or you have chosen to leave. Like, Peter said what happened, So, like, the power is with her. Mm-hmm. She can decide. But, like, doing this thing where she just death stares at him and is like, maybe I'll take your rose.
Yeah, next to someone who really, really wants it.
Yeah.
And isn't getting it.
It's kind of shitty.
Yeah, it was shitty. I love, too. He's like, you sure you want this?
Yeah. She's like, will you accept it? She's like, yeah.
Yeah. It was a proposal.
Yeah.
And then they hug, sort of side hug. It was still very long, but not as warm.
No. Although there was some gripping on his shoulder by her hand.
That's true. I think these two really, really do like each other. I'm concerned about their long-term.
There's some compatibility issues.
There's some compatibility issues.
Yeah.
And then while this is happening, Victoria is just like standing there waiting to be rejected for an extensive amount of time. Like that
in a wedding
rough.
Dress. Mm-hmm.
Was this another Reformation?
I don't know. I've been loving the commentary on the Reformation from the pod.
Yeah. I was just like, look, a girl who shares some of my style.
Love it.
I have many issues with Victoria, but her style's not
it's
one
good.
Of them.
On Women Tell All, too. Great little red look. Suit, short thing. It was cute.
It was very cool.
Eventually, Peter walks her out, and I kind of enjoyed her exit because she's just not really here for it. And he's saying all of these like very generic things about this was real. And she starts to say like, I feel stupid, which again is a normal thing to feel in this situation.
Yeah.
He cuts her off and says like, don't feel stupid. You shouldn't feel stupid. And I get the instinct there, but I always feel like if you're breaking up with someone, telling them what to feel is just not
the best move.
And also, like, you're not going to soothe them.
What I was thinking during this exchange and during a lot of them in the last couple of seasons is basically they are giving explanations that they're trying to make Women Tell All proof so that they don't have that confrontation in the chair where the woman's like, I just don't get it. We didn't have closure. What happened? Blah, blah, blah. So he's like, it was all real. I'm going to validate all your feelings and then not give you quite an explanation, but just say I'm further along with the other woman.
Right. So my heart is elsewhere. Like, that's now the line. Like, my heart is further with other relationships, so how could I give it to you?
Right.
But it's nothing specific.
But honestly, I was watching her thinking, well, this is what you've been subconsciously preparing yourself for this whole time. So in the near term, you're fine because this is what you've been expecting and setting yourself up for with all the inability to let him get close to you and all that stuff. This is what your nervous system has been preparing you for. But in the longer term, hopefully, and I think we saw some signs of it, she's been processing where that all comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's really true. It's like she did the self-protective thing, which we've seen all season, which is just kind of shut down and say, you know, look, I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yep.
She just gets in the car.
Yep.
She gets in the car. And says, you know, I was just hoping to find love. Like, isn't that what everyone's hoping for?
She had a classy exit.
Yeah.
But again, she was kind of mentally preparing herself all season for this moment.
She brings up Madison a little.
Yeah.
Which
I think that was from another time, the audio.
Yeah, I also don't think that that's accurate. Like, I don't think that Madison's conversation changed. I think Victoria was going to go home regardless.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, because she mentioned, like, the ultimatum that would have swung his decision. And then she said she hopes he doesn't have any regrets, which I get that, too. It's like you just spent a fantasy suite date with Peter, and now she feels uncomfortable because I'm sure stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that's a strange it's a very kind of altruistic way of looking at it. It's like, I hope you don't have any regrets. But a lot of people over the years say that to someone who they think – they're saying it passive aggressively of like, there's someone here who you're going to regret picking.
Mm-hmm.
But I was confused by why she said that last night. Do you think it's specifically
like
because they slept
to the
together?
Sex.
Yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
And I think it's also somewhat self-protective to feel that way. Like, because if he regrets doing that, then what does that say about what you did? Like, that was, you know, that cheapens.
Well, that's one. I mean, you guys talked about this last week, but he handled that conversation as deftly as I think you could have without tiptoeing anywhere near a regret for having done what he did.
Yes.
It's just remorse that it created this giant conflict that he didn't understand the scale of Madison.
Which he does say to Chris, you know, he says, like, maybe I handled this wrong. And I agree. I don't think that indicated he has regrets having sex, but regrets, like, creating emotional turmoil for all of them.
By not knowing the full picture.
He is one of the most sex positive people on the show, and it comes from a sex positive family. Yeah. Like, he's
his
not,
parents are out here.
She shouldn't be.
That's the thing with Madison. She shouldn't be surprised because Pete has always like
that's
this
what's
what,
been yeah
his story. He's windmill
his
guy.
Brand. Been yeah. fascinating to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was definitely the most interesting portion.
By far.
Yes. Of the show. I mean,
only 30 minutes, not
right.
even.
I know. I was like really hoping they were going to stretch it to an hour. I do want to mention the very end of this section is Madison doing the cheers, and she just like looks at Peter and says, "Let's cheers to seeing if love can conquer all."
I'm sorry. I was so.
I didn't love it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was so psyched about her literally all season.
Me too.
And then, you know, I was with. What happened last week, I was just thinking, okay, this I can't relate to this, but this seems to be coming from a really genuine place of investment and also just deep concern about your vision for what you were going to have in your life not matching up in a major way with a variable
totally.
That you've been spending mm-hmm. a lot of time thinking about. But then last night, what we saw of the way she's metabolizing all of that is just, it was just, I guess, young. I don't know. I hate being so ageist. And also, it's like, you know, who does all this stuff perfectly? But
yeah,
I don't know.
I think she is angry and hasn't really had an outlet to express that anger mm-hmm. because they're still in this game.
Yeah, and
they
also
have to just move along.
I imagine her trying
thing.
To process it on her own. And it's like, okay, so you're angry. You can identify that at what end at whom and why.
Right.
Those
what do
are
you do?
Really
How do
hard.
You express that?
Those are such diffuse answers because then, you know, obviously she can go through the thought process of I'm angry at him for sleeping with these people. That is the premise of the show.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so it's you're angry and there's nothing really to do about it or put it and
you
you're
have
in
to
love.
Process it yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you're in this locked box and you have to go right back into this structure.
Right.
Which is why my prediction is that we're going to see this anger come out later, and I think that she might exit in some way
yeah.
of her own accord because I don't think this is settled internally for her.
No. And now she has to just go off and reunite with his family and try to act like everything's okay.
Yeah. But I kept getting this strong instinct last week that all she wanted in the world was to have her to be able to talk this through with her family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think like at that point you're still so influenced by it, and she seems very close to her family's values and stuff like that. You would really want to know, what are the rules about this again? Like,
yeah.
can I, what if he slept
and like,
with someone
will
this week?
That support,
like, is that okay?
Too.
And will her community be disappointed in her
right,
if she
yeah.
makes certain decisions? Like, that seemed to also be the subtext
really
of a lot of her concern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. I think it's like making that decision and processing all this in this isolated environment is not super conducive to
right.
working it out effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, women tell all.
And this is when we get the big tease where Chris says there's not a single person who knows
yeah.
how Peter's journey will end. Not even Peter.
So I mean, isn't that true
propose.
For...
So he didn't
But
he
isn't
didn't
that
make
true
choice.
For all of us?
Yeah. How will yeah. this end?
So
how
none
will
of us
any
know.
Of it end?
None of us know how our journeys are going to
yeah.
end.
Allison read right through that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, what happens?
No, obviously I thought the same things you guys thought.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see the finale. I just don't care for this women tell all. The women who were there, let's be clear. I didn't know who the first like six were.
Yeah.
We have Katrina. Don't know who that is. Marissa. Don't know who that is. Alexa.
Know who that is.
No, Alexa. Yes. No Alexa. Because she just seemed cool. And like I would actually like to hang out with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who talked about her natural hair.
Oh, yeah. Love
yeah,
her.
Love her.
Sorry. The name recall is tough at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Kylie, no idea who that is.
Yeah, I didn't know Kylie.
Sarah, who I know from being very cute on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
but not much from the show. She's the blonde one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started recognizing
the blonde one. She goes, you know, the blonde one.
You know, the one blonde one. Then I started recognizing them more once they got to Kiara, Deandra, Savannah, Alea, Tammy, Shean, Lexi, Sydney, Victoria P., McKenna, Kelsey, and Victoria F. So from Alea on, certainly I knew who everyone was, and like Kiara and Deandra I remembered.
Yeah.
Savannah I didn't really. Like I vaguely remember she existed.
I am not gonna be using anyone's names.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just full
the
disclosure.
Stress just automatically set in for me when all these women
when they panned across everyone. I was like, oh, I forgot. I was like, wait, oh, we have to relive this season. Yeah.
And I don't want, I hate seeing women yell at each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, get, strap in.
I thought it was really weird that Chris opens by being like, so what do you guys think about Madison's stance on Sex and the Fantasy Suite?
Yeah. It was wild.
Like, why are they weighing in on this? It was just weird.
Well, I guess I'm weighing in on it, so.
Yeah, I know. It just, but it felt like a shitty position to put them in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because well, there were, I mean, Maddie was very well liked in the house, too. She had a lot of friends. So now it's basically like you breaking down your friends' decisions and
whatever.
When you don't really know much.
So we get the two sides of it. You know, Lexi says, I kind of think it wasn't fair to Peter. Given that, you know, we all know how the show works when we sign up for it. And then we get Sydney saying, you know, I come from a really similar community as Madison, so I didn't see it as an ultimatum. I respect Madison. Okay, moving on. Again, that is about the level of excitement and clarity and information that we get this whole
thing. For the whole thing.
Yep.
They do a terrible supercut where we have to relive all of the women feuding.
No, we don't need
to. We don't need to recap it. We remember.
Because I feel like it was just yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, and I hated it.
Every episode is just blended together this season.
So the first kind of feud they sort of halfway dig into is Victoria P. and Alea.
Which just devolves in
so
such a
quickly.
Spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Fashion. Sorry.
Yeah. Sydney says Alea's really scripted and she just felt she was turning it on for the cameras. Lexi says she felt like Alea treated The Bachelor as a pageant and was using pageant language.
Disqualified. I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
it was funny. Lexi was fine. They call out Alea for going on Reddit when she was home and then coming back. Which I was
went on Reddit.
Bachelor Reddit must have been like having a party. Like a real shout out for them.
It was also, what a funny instinct to go on Reddit when you're home. And look up what's happening. Like, isn't that interesting to you guys?
Yeah. Like, I think at this point they're all like on Reality Steve and Reddit as soon as they leave.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I'm sure.
Just looking up everything.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of spoilers that I've never tiptoed into either.
Yeah.
Universe.
Reddit's a dangerous place.
Reddit
though.
Is dangerous. Yeah. I can't.
It's cruel
it makes me feel really
icky,
sad every time I've looked at even a small
it's a
threads.
Rough place.
Yeah. But yeah, and we try to stay away from spoilers too for the sake of the podcast. But, you know, Alea, I thought Alea kind of had a good comeback to all of this. She was like, I'm actually just as obnoxious in real life as I am on camera. And
ask my mom.
I'm sorry for my princessy baby voice, but I've done that for decades, which decent defense.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think as you guys have noted throughout the season, I think the biggest conflict is just that there are people here that don't like each other.
Right.
Who don't get along.
And that's
like,
fine.
If you were put in as suite mates in college or something like that, you'd be like, oh, this one suite mate or my roommate, I don't like them. But it's hard for them to process in a way that isn't just anyone like you is bad. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, they're yelling at the public for making sweeping generalizations about each other. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
we will get into that because I have some
thoughts. But anyway, it's just this whole women tell all could have been just shortened spectacularly by saying, so a lot of you just didn't fundamentally like each other.
And guess what? You never have to live with each other again.
And this might be the last time you see each other.
Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is
sometimes
gonna be,
you are around people and you don't like them and you find them annoying. And the way you deal with that is you maybe say a few, like, unkind things to a friend and in your own head, and then you move on.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, wild theory, the lack of office job experience is
interesting,
influential on that aspect of...
Because they haven't had to deal with just being in close quarters with people.
Also, a lot of them are like straight from college. So that's the life they've known. I think that's
really interesting. If you're just content creator... And you do a lot of independent work.
You don't have science projects on your own.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a theory.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a really good observation.
Office experience needed.
Well, not office specifically, but I guess working in groups. Group projects.
Yeah.
Working with more than just like freelance photographers you find in the city
you chose.
To.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So they just are all fighting. Then. Shein calls Victoria P out for being two-faced with Alaya because, you know, we did get a clip of Victoria P. like definitely lied about
she knew Alaya.
Like, that is a fact.
Skated through this whole season without having to give any explanation about any
for
of it.
For saying that she spent 3 hours with her when she went on a full trip with her. They're like in many photos together. And then Savannah's like, this is my moment. And she is, I guess, close with Alaya. I mean, unclear. I don't know who this person is. But she just goes in on Victoria P. She's like, you're the fakest person in the house. Suddenly, they're all yelling at each other about who's the fakest.
Yeah, this is the moment when you're
and
like,
I stopped
have to
taking
watch.
Notes. I was like, absolutely not.
This is the moment where I was like, I am. Is this promo for Super Tuesday? Because this reminds me so much of the last Democratic debate.
Oh, yes, this is a good time for us to put in our plug for voting. If you
Please
are
vote.
In a state that votes on Super Tuesday,
if you're in American Samoa, vote.
Please get out there. Vote. It's Super Tuesday. You probably, if you're listening to this right when it comes out, you have a couple hours left of the polls, depending on what state you live in. So please, please, please exercise your civic duty. Get out there.
Please, you're right.
Thank you. Yes.
And you're right. So then Chris is like, wow.
Chris's face when they're all screaming.
Oh my gosh. He wasn't even trying to do anything.
No.
They've played on this theme a couple times this season, and most egregiously when they ended an episode just zooming out with the voices of people yelling at each other from inside.
So I think we can kind of honestly like speed through a couple of these feuds. They talk about Champagne
Gate. Again, twice.
Which was a non-issue.
Yeah.
So crazy.
I don't care.
He talks through it, and then he invites Kelsey on the couch, and he's like, and we have to talk through it again.
I was like, wait. He sort of,
we don't.
It was like a cliffhanger. He was like, and, you know, we obviously have to talk about it. And I was like, what is this going to be?
You
Champagne?
Just
did. Yeah. No. Oh, God.
So, yeah. Kelsey's just like, yeah, I was irrational. And that sort of shut that down.
Yeah.
So then they move very quickly into the Kelsey-Tammy feud and the Tammy-McKenna feud.
Oh, but I'm a nurse, you're a dermatologist.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
was.
My God. So, yeah, they bring up, Tammy tries to say she was only calling Kelsey an alcoholic because she was very concerned for her.
No, but she says, I never called her an alcoholic.
Also, she says she never did.
You're like, but
we just saw a clip of her saying,
you have
alcoholic
tendencies.
Are very concerning.
She's being very to the letter.
Yeah.
She's really.
It's like Tammy, she didn't really learn much.
All
I don't
she had
think.
To say was sorry.
Sorry.
And it would have been done. But instead she like leaned into
her
character.
She isn't. I think she really just doesn't like
any
a lot of these.
Yeah,
any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved though in the clip when they said, will women tell all come at me or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
she's
said.
Like, she's
I don't
like,
give a fuck. Like,
yeah, she knew this was coming and she was ready then. And she's just been sitting somewhere
I think
ready.
She's just like, wow, I hate half of these women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will not be kind to them.
Ugh.
But she says, you know, I wasn't trying to bash Kelsey for crying. I just thought it was ridiculous she was crying. Whatever. Yeah, Marissa.
Who is Marissa?
Yeah, who asks about Victoria P's role in the proliferating the pill popping comment.
Well, because, yeah, she brought up,
she's
like,
the
you
one
called her
who,
a pill popper.
Like, which it seems that maybe no one actually called her a pill popper, but that Victoria said, like, she had just found pill bottles, which turned out to be ADHD medication and birth control.
No, I think the crux of it was that when everyone was wondering how Kelsey got that drunk, I've imagined the scene so many times.
Yeah, that was it.
There's just a bunch of girls upstairs talking, and Victoria's like, I'm a nurse, and sometimes it can be dangerous
to mix
medication with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And if you're not used to the quantity you're drinking, you might not know how it's going to affect you or something. And then
in a
classic way, got blown up out of proportion.
Into a pill popper. Mm-hmm.
But she was shut the fuck down.
Savannah was just ready to
this
go
was
after
wild.
Her.
She jumps in again.
Because Victoria says, from a medical standpoint, Savannah jumps in and says, from a medical standpoint, you're a dermatologist.
It was also on behalf of dermatologists everywhere, many of whom work for me. I would like to say you guys are all medical professionals,
yes.
And I respect your work greatly.
Real? That's a very
way to
real
cover your
medical
track.
It
field.
Was unbelievably dismissive. And Kelsey, also, I just keep writing Megyn Kelly. They look so much alike.
Wow,
it is
so real. She
the
just
nose
needs to cut
something.
Her hair. It's a nose.
The angles.
No, it's her whole face. I kept being like, is this Charlize?
Charlize, are you in there? Which she's a fan, so it could be Charlize the whole time.
Wow, that would be an excellent
spoiler. That's
excellent
the twist.
Yeah, Sydney's like, Kelsey, you called me a stupid fucking bitch. And Kelsey's like, point of order.
Yes.
I didn't say stupid fucking bitch. I said dramatic fucking bitch. But also, I'm sorry. And then Sydney's like, yeah, you have apologized. We're fine. Yeah.
They're fine. I loved that. I was like, great.
I did too. I was like, oh, two women that clearly reached out to each other when they saw it air and were like, you know what? I was a dick. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what you should do.
Then it goes back to Tammy, though.
Goes back to Tammy. Tammy's just fighting with everyone. And then Tammy and McKenna truly were both so unlikable in this.
I mean.
Just.
And Chris just had to be like, let's talk about Tammy and McKenna. And it's like, no, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to relive their childish behavior, but let's do it.
Kiara tries to get a jab in. She's like, I'm a nanny. And McKenna was really exhibiting childish behavior, which, fair. I mean, they all were. They all were. Every single one of them was. Tammy's like, McKenna, I don't owe you an apology. McKenna tries to, she's like, I'm going to play the role of magnanimous person here.
Yes.
She's like, Tammy, I don't think you're a bad person, but you made me feel horrible about myself. But if anything, you've taught me how I don't want to treat people, like how I found my voice. And Tammy's like, how long did you rehearse this?
She's also like, you dance like a buffoon in front of the camera.
What
you
a weird
spread your legs.
Like, well, and you, also spread your legs for the camera. I was like, A, we would have seen that.
Yeah. Also,
I was
like, what are you talking? Really gross that's thing like to say to someone.
Yeah, just, I was like, she's unwrapped. Like, yeah, we got to move. Like,
also,
commercial
you know
break.
The connotation of the term spread your legs is like completely slut-shamey. It's very odd.
It was very
I thought that
weird.
Was like super below the belt and crappy. And then McKenna's like, how dare you? You called me a nasty woman, which it's also like, I thought we retired the term nasty woman after 2016.
No, it can still be weaponized.
McKenna speaks in catchphrases, remember? She's a true feminist.
And then McKenna's like really been preparing her line about Canada. She's like, come to Canada, learn to be kind.
That's where all the nice people
it's
live.
It's like, Canada has a reputation, but I'm going to say there are, as someone who did live in Canada, there are also mean people in Canada.
100%. They're just more, they're nicer about it. Yeah. But they're still mean. There's a little passive aggression there.
Oh, so that happened. And then Kelsey is in the hot seat. She gets some big cheers. They play back her time with Peter.
She and she's tears like, up. Yeah,
that was hard.
I will say, of everyone else, she grew on me the most.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. I actually grew to quite like Kelsey.
Me too. Especially in the way that she handled. She was not defensive. She didn't like.
She's the only one on this that took any responsibility for her actions.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also a very nuanced thing that she had to stake out, which was that she is not going to defend her the way she responded, but she can't be asked to defend or not her emotional reaction to something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way you execute that on that emotional response that she's apologizing for. And that's, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I was a little bit frustrated, actually, by them trotting Ashley I out.
I know.
Oh, my God.
As the ambassador and basically equating Ashley I with Kelsey.
For crying.
For crying. And I feel like this is a delicate thing because when you put someone like Ashley I out and you're like, you can't shame someone for their emotions. There have been times we've seen on this show where Ashley I behaved like really poorly and in a way that was really vicious to other people.
Yeah.
But was put under the guise of, well, that's just my emotions. And I think that you can acknowledge that it's not okay to shame someone for if your emotions, and I am someone who like cries very easily, if your emotions come out as tears, then like, I don't think that should be shamed. But also, you can be someone who cries and is emotional and also react really poorly to
and
things.
Be cruel.
And be cruel. And that, it doesn't excuse that.
But just think about it in the flip side. Like, if for when it's a bachelorette season and there are guys experiencing strong emotions and their emotions come out in the way of aggression or something,
right,
the show has
okay.
a very clear policy on that. And so it's just a different. It's fascinating to think about all of it because I can feel the show trying to find the feminism in this issue.
Yeah.
And they're like so many times before, it's just sort of.
They don't know. They're so inartful about all of these things.
They're like, let's bring back the other most emotional woman we've had on the franchise and have her represent the emotional people.
It was so weird. They're like, oh, this is. Thank you for representing all of us, Kelsey. I'm like, yes, this is the representation The Bachelor needs. Crying. Not enough crying. And look, I love a cry.
We all love a good cry.
I just thought that, again, this was it was inartful. And you're like, there is a nugget of something true there. And I did like that Kelsey said, you know, men and women should feel that they can express their emotions and mm-hmm. shouldn't be shamed for that. Like, I thought she was trying to use her platform in a way that was positive. But then to trot Ashley I out, I thought was just, like, weird and ineffective.
Mm-hmm. And then she just presents her with a giant bottle of champagne.
It was like if you have a single gay friend and you meet a different gay person and you're like, oh, you know who I should set you up with?
My one gay friend.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, the only thing you guys have yeah. in common is that you cried frequently on this show and thus you are in a club together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was,
but
yeah,
Ashley seemed
odd.
To be very part of it. Kelsey, I was trying to read her face, I think was less.
Yeah, she was like, oh, yeah.
She's like, Ashley, okay. I?
Yeah. And Tammy is just eye rolling through this whole segment.
That is a fascinating. She just does not like people crying.
Nope.
No.
Doesn't like it.
And I do think, you know, sometimes people are manipulative with the way they deploy their tears. So I think it's just, this is case
but again,
by case.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. It is hard to achieve full tear droppage on command. It is hard. I had to do it for a living.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. difficult.
No, that's fair.
So if these girls are pulling that off on a regular basis, I am supremely impressed.
I mean,
there are jobs
look,
out there.
I've spent years of my life trying to figure out how to stop myself from crying. And that is also difficult. So like
yeah.
emotions
it's all hard.
Can be
yeah.
hard to control.
Yeah.
Then we get a truly painful promo for Listen to Your Heart show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We will not be recapping this. I have to
no,
draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
It looks horrific.
But it's A Star Is Born in reality TV
These
version.
These people have never seen A Star Is Born.
If you yeah. liked the
you
way
know
A Star
how
Is Born ended, yeah. you're going to love the way this ends. Oh, God.
Just all I feel like all they do is just sing Shallow for the whole entire
Me too. I feel like every duo sings Shallow. There should be a supercut of each of them. I assume there's a challenge and they're paired up together and they have to go off and prepare a duet. There should be a supercut of each of them proposing Shallow to
mm-hmm.
each other
yep.
for the first song.
And then, like, intercut with women being like, she's a bitch.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Cool. This seems like all the best things.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah, Jed. Jed.
If Jed shows up, yeah. that's
Jed.
It. It's done.
Oh, I was saying my it's little done. Brother texted me when the first promo of this dropped and was like, so they created a show purely to troll Jed. I was like, yeah, that seems to be the case.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we break down a whole lot more from the Women Tell All special.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And now, back to the Women Tell All. Next, we get the final hot seat of the night before Peter comes out. Victoria F., as we said before, great red suit.
Great mm-hmm. red suit.
I love a matching set.
And obviously, they're going to talk about the thing that was most controversial this whole season that had anything to do with Victoria F., which was
maybe she slept with a married man.
Not the potential association with white supremacy. Yeah,
not the Cosmo shoot that started this whole thing that aired on the show. But
it was,
you know, Chris, he always does his due diligence.
More aware of the fact that Chris is not a journalist than when he is doing these hard hitting interviews.
Well, and also, if I thought that he had full control over the question, I mean, this was clearly like a no one at the network wanted this to be a thing
that anyone talked about. No, they're trying to just skate right over it, ship Victoria F. right off to paradise for a redemption arc and, like, move on. You know, they play a flashback, and Victoria immediately gets pretty emotional. She's basically like, I was really frustrated with myself, and I didn't realize how much Peter cared for me, and I wish I had let him love me the way he wanted to, and mm-hmm. I'm just really frustrated with myself, and I got in my own way.
I heard this, and I was like, therapy. Yeah.
Yes, the show is therapy. I really want her to be in therapy.
I think she is. I mean, I think it's undeniable. I could see it in the way she even looked at Peter once he comes out, were with the eyes of someone who was like, that was weird. I don't, as I'm sitting here, feel anything towards you except gratitude and a sort of like, what did I just go through? Yeah. Kind of.
I mean, I'm projecting so much onto her,
but I just feel like she's been doing a lot
she's
of work.
She's been educated on her personal emotions. She's mm-hmm. been educated on
about Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I think it's been
a lot of learning for
her. I could see it, is what I'm saying. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. I wasn't expecting her to come in that form.
Yeah, she was very mature.
She was. She articulated herself better than she did the whole show.
And in full voice, I noticed that as well.
Yeah. She didn't whisper. She says Peter was the one good thing she got to have, and she got a glimpse of it, and it was easier for her to push him away.
Exactly.
It was easier not to have him than lose him at the end. And I thought that was really eloquent.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, yeah, I was in love with him. That was a big learning experience, but I can only move forward.
Yep.
Good for you, Victoria.
And then Chris is like, there's been a lot of things said about you.
And then I was like,
we must address it. Did you break up a bunch of marriages? I don't even know what to say about this. It's like, and also it's not even like he pressed her on it. She was just like, no, I didn't. And that sucked.
And then they start laughing when she's like, I could have handled this whole fucking season better. Should have been the title of this season.
Honestly, that was a good line.
It was great from Chris.
And then they both started laughing and then just moved on. Never got more. Which, okay. Yeah.
Victoria's like, I am scared to see Peter. So Peter arrives and just like starts yelling like so much love, which was weird.
I see all your hearts. Woo. He had some Tom Cruise on Oprah vibes.
Stand
on the couch like, woo. It was just a little bit. I don't know what the enthusiasm is for. I don't know where it's coming from. Your scar looks good. Maybe that's the source of all of
it. Like,
maybe
in the
Harry Potter sense, if he is feeling whatever his scar looks like, then of course he's jumping on a couch.
Power.
But he's like, yeah, guys, I never thought I'd been in a room with so many exes. Yeah. It was such a bad joke. Like, it didn't land. No one really laughed. And he just says a lot of platitudes.
Yep.
He's like, I got to meet so many amazing women. I got to grow. And then all of the women are like, can I be the most magnanimous here and tell Pete how much I am grateful for him?
What I was wondering was, did they know at the taping of the Women Tell All – that none of them were going to be the Bachelorette. No. Yeah, so we're watching them audition.
Oh, yeah. Kelsey,
you could Kelsey with the full force of all her being.
Yeah, Kelsey was really...
Kelsey, this is my moment.
And it was also edited really strangely. There was no connective tissue in the edit, so she just suddenly is talking and is
getting emotional. She's so grateful for you.
So grateful.
You taught me about the person I want to be and be in the future.
Which was McKenna like, that's my line.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I will find someone with the qualities you have in the future.
But not you.
But one of 30
one
men.
One of 30
men.
Exactly.
And Pete just like, our relationship was unique. It was tough. But, you know, I realized we just weren't each other's person.
Nothing says unique like that. It was so unique that we weren't for each other.
Thanks for the kind words, but no.
I'm like, wow, I've had a lot of unique relationships.
Yeah, just a whole string of them.
Yeah.
Until they weren't anymore.
Oh, God.
And then Chris invites Victoria F. up on stage to talk to Pete.
And there's just nothing there.
Nothing.
It was
a quick, like, segment, too.
I feel like there was nothing. Yeah. Not one
thing. I just mean even chemistry-wise.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely was expecting a much more distraught Victoria than appeared next to him.
But, she's clearly been in some
really good therapy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for putting you through hell.
Yeah.
And getting in my own way. And he's like, you know, as I always say, love is patient and also kind.
As you say, as the phrase you coined, loathe us many thousands years ago.
Does not boast.
And Victoria's just like, yeah, pretty glad there's no animosity here. We're buds.
Cool. See you in paradise.
Yeah.
We're buds.
We're buds.
I was like, that is her, assuming that he has not ended up with anyone, trying to shut down a future date request. Like, I feel like she's already dating someone else.
Yeah, she's
like,
moved on.
Yeah.
Another country star, maybe.
Yeah, gosh.
And then Pete has the opportunity to talk to the other women.
What an opportunity.
And he takes it. And he takes it by the horns.
McKenna and Tammy are both like, yeah, wow, that 2-on-1, that was rough.
And he's like, what? What was that? What date?
And McKenna's like, you know, I wish you didn't put me through a rose ceremony. And he's like, look, I just didn't know. So
I didn't know
that.
I didn't like you until
the producers told me to
But like 1 hour later, I realized how much I didn't like you.
But I will say she felt vindicated by the fact that Tammy went home first. You know?
True. She still won against Tammy.
He said he believed her. So I think the win was pretty important, if I remember correctly, McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd gone home at the same time, wouldn't have had the same impact.
And then Savannah comes out with like this.
She was really angling for paradise, Cass.
Yeah, this big question. Does he regret giving the rose to dramatic women instead of the women who are there for the quote unquote right reasons?
I was desperate for a fourth wall break here.
Yeah.
And for him to be like,
terrible question.
The producers have some influence.
Also,
I wish he could say that.
But he was just following his heart.
The producers have influence. B, even if you're there for the quote right reasons, but he has no interest in you, like, move along.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, he wasn't into you, Savannah. That's it.
Yep. Another thing about the next season, which I'm so excited about that I keep starting to talk about.
I know. Let's just get through this. And then, again, everyone just says, we respect you. Sydney's like, we're all so happy for you. We just want you to be happy. We all respect you.
Yeah. And he's like, I want you all to find your people.
And you're very brave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it's done.
Oh, but wait. For the one bloopers stan in the world, they have bloopers, which never fail.
Yeah.
I would rather them have played 1 hour of bloopers than this Women Tell All.
It was great.
I mean,
I always enjoy the bloopers.
But like, who is the way they're presented to us is as if it's, again, to invoke Oprah again. I don't know why. She's on the mind. Isn't she always?
Yes.
It's like you look under your chair and there's like a car.
Gift.
Like,
yeah,
the
he's
way
like,
they're presented.
When do you come back?
Bloopers.
Everyone's waiting.
I feel like I'm on a children's program and he turns into a kids show host.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I know this seems like a kids show because of the people on it, but we are grown-ups.
Yeah.
And bloopers are fun, but
listen, the in-studio audience is all paid for, so.
I know. And boy, do they perform.
They really do.
Those posters were made so well. I couldn't even believe it.
They try harder in previous seasons to differentiate the posters, the font,
they all looked
the design. They were all the same exact
poster. I was like, wow, you had the same stagehand.
The same PA made all these posters. Who has good handwriting? Okay, you're on poster duty.
The best blooper for me, though, is when Pete lifts McKenna up. as he does with all the women.
And they just crash.
For a makeout session. Yes. Her head just bangs against the armoire.
Yeah, that was just accurate. And then we move right from bloopers. Again, they have no sense for any sort of tonal continuity.
Also, they teed up bloopers, but they did not ever mention that this
they
segment
were, like,
was coming.
Surprise, no. We're moving into a very serious anti-bullying
segment.
Let's
do a mimicking production meeting. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. Do we do bloopers before or after
the
racially
racism.
Tinged hatred?
You know, everybody's waiting for the bloopers. Like, that's what they come
we
for women to offer.
First,
we got to get the bloopers in first. Lighten them up before this heavy subject.
So not
know?
A palate cleanser of ridiculous bug jokes after we watch
really serious
discussion
of
hate speech.
We can't end on that. We gotta end on hate speech.
That's the motto I always live by.
Yeah, same.
You gotta end on hate
speech. Also, just a reminder, remind everyone involved, do not say the word racism.
We don't want to alienate anyone.
Chris, yeah. Chris, get Chris in here.
We
get
really
Chris
cannot
in here.
Alienate our white supremacist audience.
Yeah. Can't use that
strong
word.
Strong demo
it's
for
marginalizing.
Us. Yeah.
And who are we going to get to host this bit?
The one
just
black
kidding.
Woman.
Well, of course. We all know.
We have Rachel Lindsay. Yeah. Bring her in.
When I saw her, I had like the most viscerally warm reaction and
I
safety.
Love her.
I felt so safe seeing her, and I was like,
but
she
I also
looks
wanted
good.
To protect her. I wanted to hug her and be like, I'm sorry you have to do this.
In that split second before I knew what she was doing out there, I
You're
was
like,
just
what is this?
Reminded of what I could feel like upon seeing the face of one of our former bachelorettes, mm-hmm. one of my faves.
I love
and
her.
Just seeing her face, I felt safe and warm and cozy and familiar.
Yeah,
and then immediately
great.
I thought, uh oh. She, what are they going to have her do?
I know.
She
At first, though, too, I was like, what happened?
For all of these. So they, look, I want to preface this by saying there is a lot of very real disgusting online harassment that occurs towards these women, towards any woman public figure, and especially women of color. And so I understand why they want to address this. The problem with The Bachelor is that they never manage to do these things in a way that feels particularly effective and artful.
Yeah.
And it felt especially odd to lecture the audience about treating people with respect and kindness right after we just saw a bunch of women
screaming
at each other, calling each other fake, telling each other not to spread their legs, calling each other bitches, like really gross language that's then kind of mirrored in these online comments. Not mm-hmm. saying that justifies it,
but it was produced
totally
into
odd.
A season of television
yes.
for our consumption and positioned as somehow different because it's
coming from
inside. Internecine battling versus people on their couches,
right? Mm-hmm. And I think that The Bachelor fails to kind of acknowledge the role also that they play in propping up this culture of anger at the women that they're featuring, and also a culture of whitewashing on these shows.
Yeah. Yes.
Certainly this cast had more women of color than we have seen. They've been making an effort to do that, but they continue to cast leads who are white or, at least pale-skinned, white-presenting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think the show is a really fraught relationship to race and even to gender. And so I think it makes it tough for them to then do a segment like
this. Well, I think what's really hard is the show continuing to try to exist in this world where there's no politics. There's
right.
very little in the way of pop culture, if you can even lump and social justice, certainly. And so in that realm, you're limiting and kind of policing the way that these contestants can speak about things like race, like their personal experiences mm-hmm. out in the world. And it is very limited to one script, basically. You can do the, like, I had a hard time, people were mean to me, I've experienced racism, and then you have the bachelor or bachelorette saying, wow, that sounds really hard, that must have been difficult. But there's no room for it to be more nuanced than that, because if that were to happen, you'd have to engage in the other giant issues that are confronting our whole
right.
country.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they don't want to do that.
No, they don't. So if you're boxing yourself in, you are not only, kind of tokenizing in the casting process, but you're also reducing and kind of policing the extent to which people can even talk about their personal experiences, because the show really only has room for one kind of story.
And I think we really even saw this in the way that Rachel is kind of forced to tee this whole thing up. And, again, like, all the respect in the world to her, and the fact that she is taking on the responsibility of kind of being this spokesperson is like...
Don't you think her thought process was, oh, God, well, if it's not me...
Right, if she doesn't do it, who will?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It will be worse. And, and she's correct.
And she and so, always steps up.
So this is not a criticism of her in the least. Like, I applaud her. But I think it's unfortunate that she's the one who bears this responsibility because it is a... It's a structural issue. It's the show's issue. It's a cultural issue. Yeah, she even, so in her intro, you know, she says, I wanted to, when I was asked to be Bachelorette, I wanted to pave a way for women who looked like me, who haven't been represented, but sometimes I feel like my efforts are in vain. She doesn't, and it's like, I think, the show, they shy away from even saying, like, I wanted to pave the way for Black women. Like, I wanted to, you know...
They like, tiptoe around
they
it.
They tiptoe around.
That's what I'm saying.
Like race in this way that's very
and it's
ineffective.
Weird because we've now, I feel like in most like cultural conversations, we've now gotten to a point where we're better at having these really messy, tough, inevitably painful conversations about race in like uglier atmospheres than the show is. Like the show is having a conversation of like 15 years ago, that style where you don't want to use the word black because you're not sure how to use it. And Chris is just basically saying, I don't even want to say any of these words. I'm not going
to
say any of
them.
So I'm passing it off to our
one
lead of color.
Rather than learning how to talk about this or listening to other people so I can know.
And of course, not all of the hate that is directed at these women is about race, but it is compounded by race. You know, women
in that
of color.
Lovely intersectional way.
Exactly. Where, these women are experiencing misogynoir, you know, the intersection of misogyny and racism. And that is different than like, you know, all three of us are in the public eye to various extents and I'm sure have experienced commentary and perhaps online harassment. But like, I know that what I experience is very different than what my colleagues of color experience. Mm-hmm. And I wish that had been addressed more explicitly. You know, Rachel reads aloud these really vile comments.
Yeah, this was an insane choice. I'm hoping they told or prepared.
It seemed
the
like they
women
did.
Who the
it seemed
women
like
about.
They did.
But even still,
but it was
like,
really hard to
watch. See that on a screen and hear it read aloud. Like that
like
is
have them relive everything that they were
trying
to
avoid. Be read aloud by Rachel. Like her having to say those things.
And how upset she got.
Having those things come out of her mouth. It felt unfair to put that on her. You know, death threats. And then a fair number of the comments did center around race. Really disgusting things. And you see Sydney breaking down in tears. Rachel is physically shaking.
Yeah,
and
she's crying.
I'm like, you traumatized her.
What I see in her is she's everything that she wants to actually be saying. Because she, like, I just was wishing that she'd be like, okay, real talk. I just need to actually talk right now in the way that I want to.
Right.
Not the way the producers prepped me to talk. I could see that, like, trying to explode out of her. She was working so hard to... You know, again, stay within the weird margins that this show allows for this conversation, which no longer, never did, but especially now, don't fit anymore.
No.
The way everyone else anywhere talks about these issues. It's just so weird to watch. It feels like you're in a time machine and we fuck it up constantly, routinely. It's part of the process, but mostly everywhere else we're doing a better job of having these conversations.
Right, at least we're wading into the waters
it's the
and
only
grappling
way.
With it.
You have to. You can't continue to exist in this liminal space where there's no politics and there's no, you know, any of these
That's
issues.
That's just not the
it's
reality.
So weird.
No, and I think Rachel was so upset because of that reason.
That's what I'm
more
saying.
More so than reading the tweet.
That's
she
what
was
I'm
just,
saying.
Yeah, she was, you could see, like, just the tension she had. And then sitting next to Chris, who was, like, not doing anything to help.
Chris only chimes in, again, to frame all of this as in this vague term of hate, which can encompass a lot of different things and doesn't have a clear, even like a clear meaning. And he does this weird thing where he asks them to raise their hand if they've experienced true hate as opposed to what?
Non-hate?
Untrue hate?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was odd. They all raised their hands and, you know, Tammy says she got death threats to her work email, which is, again, horrific.
Yeah.
And
awful.
No one deserves that.
Yeah, the way to do this would have been to have the people who wrote those comments come in and
read them.
Yeah.
I thought it's
they
like
would
the,
never say that to somebody's face.
Well, it's exactly. like the Lindy West, This American Life episode where she confronts her troll.
Yes.
And like that to me was such an effective way to close that gap. But just,
This isn't going to do anything.
No.
I mean, if the effort was in good faith, like, look, I mean, this genre of television has a terrible track record for mental health, terrible consequences as a result of the show, and they do a terrible job of helping. And if this was an effort in good faith to try to limit the amount of bullying, if you can even call these comments bullying, it seems like it's the wrong term, if you weren't trying to limit that, I understand the desire to have a segment about it.
Yeah.
But I wish I could have like helicoptered into those conversations to steer them in the direction of putting the onus on the people who are
saying it,
creating the problem, instead of the people who've been victimized by it once before.
Right. And it
re-victimized by it on live television.
Exactly.
Or nearly live television.
And then having having Rachel come on and read it.
No, yeah. You're
suffer
you're
all over again.
Putting the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the people who should be not responsible anymore for these.
And it really felt like while they're saying, they're telling their audience to stop doing this, they're still tiptoeing around the feelings, the white fragility of their audience.
Right.
Yeah. And that was very frustrating to watch. I was glad that the women who got to really speak in this segment were predominantly the women of color.
Yes.
It was nice to hear from Kiara a little bit more.
Alexa, too.
And Alexa. Alexa talks about her natural hair and the way that she's felt that the love that she's gotten for going on this show and representing women with natural hair and representing that her hair is beautiful was, outweighed the hatred that she received. I thought that was lovely. And it also it made me wish that we had gotten to hear from women like Alexa on the show a lot more.
Yeah. Yes.
Like she, I've been a fan
of hers.
If
you don't think there was a "Can I touch your hair, Pete?" Alexa exchange at some point. This is
I
sorely mistaken.
Well, I feel like Chris was like this.
Don't
close.
You remember, Chris,
yes.
when they first announced Alexa? They're like, "Let me just say, she's got great hair."
Chris said it.
Chris
and
Harrison.
We were like, "Chris, you're a mess.
Yeah.
You're so messy."
Which is why they didn't let him talk this whole entire
right.
segment.
Sydney chimes in a bit. We get to hear from the women of color, which was good, but.
Thing was just so frustrating.
The
it's
whole
like
thing
just
was frustrating.
Ask people who have to deal with this all the time. How should we handle this? And then listen to them. Like it's just you're never going to get better at these issues if you keep putting the same people in a room and having the same conversation and coming up with the same solutions that are to the benefit and the care of an audience that needs to get the fuck with the program. Like I'm
get
sorry,
get the fuck with the program. Yeah. It's true. That's the tagline for the moving forward.
Get the fuck just with get the program. With
get
it.
The fuck with the program. And yeah. So we wrap
love
up this,
this
segment.
Season.
Yeah, mercifully.
Again, should have cast Mike Johnson. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Just like.
So wrapping up, we get bloopers. We get this really fraught segment on racial bigotry and then right into an overly dramatic promo, which like the only interesting thing I thought that we we saw Peter going to someone's house with clearly a different haircut. So it seemed to be after filming. Apologizing. So I think we're going to see one or both of these women leave. I don't think we're going to see a proposal. I feel that he's probably in some respect with Madison. That would be my guess, but I guess we'll see. And it'll be over.
Madison's going to leave. I just have the sense she's going to leave. And then he can't pick Hannah Ann because he's too confused. And then he's going to.
Well, and also because he's fully in love with Madison.
Yes, he loves Madison. Then he's going to go find Hannah Ann after the show and be like, I made a mistake.
Wait,
I
really?
That's what I just feel.
No.
I just
oh, my God. Here's what I think happens.
I think Madison.
Madison goes home. He goes to her house to try to win her back. She says, I need some time to think about it.
Yes.
She shows up at the after the final rose to
and,
deliver
and
her verdict.
To think about it.
No,
I bet they're,
about
and
it.
I think they're going to date. I think they are going to date.
Well, but I think they would start after the final rose, if anything, because if for...
I think they've been in flux and probably talking.
He's
but
definitely
not
talking
in
to someone
place.
Who is gonna maybe they'll get together on After the Final Rose.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Madison. I feel that Hannah Ann reaches her breaking point and like...
I just have this Hannah Ann sense.
Well,
I don't
know
what it
is. You know what? We'll see. Okay. And the beautiful thing is that it hasn't
been
spoiled.
Do I win
spoiled.
A prize if I...
Yeah, you win.
You win something.
You
wait,
win.
It hasn't been spoiled
no.
for anyone?
No. Reality yeah. Steve does not know.
Nobody knows.
So
it's
special.
I think the ending has not happened.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
Nice.
That's why I feel
it
like...
It cannot be spoiled.
It will happen at After the Final
Rose. Yeah, it will happen at After the Final Rose.
It's all just guesses, which is...
Okay, guys. It's time.
Claire!
Yay. We get to talk about Claire. This is our treat.
Oh, my God.
The cherry on top.
Guys, I am so excited for Claire Crawley to be the next Bachelorette. This is a massive reset for the show. Claire, Juan Pablo's season of The Bachelor was incredible. If anyone has not seen it,
you
must
watch
season
18, it. I think.
Must
Claire
watch it. Is iconic.
It is not okay.
Juan Pablo is very bad, and all the women hate him, which makes it
and watching
wonderful.
Them dress him down one after another while he's trying to dump them is just one of my favorite pastimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Claire Crawley telling him off at the end saying, I would never want my children to have a father like you. Savage.
Savage.
She's absolutely savage. I believe, is she one of the ones who also, like, took her shoes off?
Probably.
I think yeah, at a certain point after, like, walking away, took her heels off.
Mm-hmm.
We've saw on Winter Games, she knows how to tell a man off. She knows how to give a great monologue.
Across language barriers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just...
Benoit even threw his support behind her because they clearly have a great friendship after their engagement, which how could you not support
she
her? She's going to be the perfect bachelorette.
By people that she has filmed with.
Yeah.
Charlene, who was on her season of The Bachelor... spoke up about it. Michael Garofola, who's friends with her from Winter Games and Paradise, and is, you know, a friend of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, texting me a photo of him and Claire. I guess he went to GMA, and he's aww. Like, she's just the most wonderful person. Like,
I'm so excited.
I'm
and
so excited.
Also, like, when I just think about what it's going to feel like, it's going to be so different.
Oh,
these
my
are
God.
Full grown-ups.
Yes.
Living in the mansion, which will be hilarious. They're all going to be like, I have a routine that yeah. I've been doing for...
Yeah,
20
be
years.
Disruptive in such a better
so
way.
Good. Yeah,
we need the 40-somethings. Like, I know they're still out there casting, but I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, did you hear that they've been telling 25-year-olds they cast, like, we're sorry, but you're not on?
Amazing.
Yeah. Pretty great.
It's just going to change everything, and it's just going to be so fascinating. And I forget where I saw it, the ages of all the bachelorettes over the years. It's such a hard reset.
Yeah.
Rachel was the oldest one, and
yeah.
she was 30, turned 32 yeah. while it was happening.
And so then Trista was 30,
Claire's,
and then everyone else was 29,
else was 29
and
or, like, turning 30. And
then 23. I forgot JoJo was 23.
JoJo was
right?
very 24?
24.
Or 20, maybe 25
Hannah,
at the time she started
Hannah
filming.
Was 25.
Emily Maynard was quite young,
25
I believe.
Or 26.
Wild.
Or no, maybe Emily was a little older because they came back to her years later. But she was in her 20s, I think. They were all in their 20s. I mean, it's a totally... different
it's a different
thing
show
to have a woman who has been living an independent and, full life that she built by herself for 2 decades.
Yes.
That is really
that's
cool.
That's what I'm saying. And everyone, almost everyone on the show, I assume, will have the same
right. You know, I think
reality.
We're probably going to see a range from men in their late 20s because, there, first of all, there's no reason that a woman can't date a man 10
of
years
course.
Younger than her.
Yeah.
We see it on The Bachelor all the time
yeah.
and in the world. So I think they'll probably have a good number of guys in their late 20s, early 30s, and then up to their early 40s, which is also the dynamics in the house
will be
really
so
interesting.
So good. It's just
going to
be such good, such real television for the reasons that they didn't let Kelly come to the
yes. Also, Claire is decisive.
Yes, she is.
And she speaks her mind. Like,
and
she's
they
not
all
afraid
will
to.
Be. They've
yeah.
been dating. They've been
They've,
dating.
Oh, yeah. They're not trying to waste time.
No, and they will know very quickly if there's anything there. And I think the challenge of the show is going to be to keep both Claire and the contestants from calling it too early.
Right.
That's what I think, because these are people who they know.
I agree. Claire's like, I'm done with you.
That's
goodbye.
What I'm saying. Yeah. She's going to have Nick energy in her
yeah,
speech.
She's going to have like
Which
five guys left.
I did. I
Me
loved
too.
Nick's
too.
Decisive
Me too. I
energy.
Loved it.
You decide you don't like someone, you send them home.
Me
too.
And I will also say that this is kind of just a reflection of the reality of our country. Like, the you know,
yeah.
age of first marriage has increased a lot over the last few decades. People are... staying or unmarried for significantly more time
yeah.
than, you know, a few decades ago. And so that just reflects the way that a lot of women are living their lives. And I think that there are a lot of women in their 30s who are searching for partners.
Yes,
and I just am so excited.
And the conversations
excited.
Are so different. I mean, listening to girls in their early 20s talking about what if it never happens, whatever, is very different. If I don't know what Claire's feelings are about family and stuff like that, but those will be conversations that will be fascinating to hear.
And I did read that they've cast at least 4 men who have children already.
Yeah, single dads, divorcees.
So it's just going to be really different conversations, and I am totally thrilled.
Yeah, and after watching 2 seasons of like Colton and then Hannah B, no matter how entertaining those seasons were, this is going to be so different, and it's so needed right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Bring on Claire.
I can't
wait. Yes.
And the raccoon.
Oh, my gosh. Well, she has just general Snow White levels of animal interaction, I think.
Oh, man. So many opportunities. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me for this perfect episode of television that we watched last night.
Oh, thank you for your service.
You're very welcome.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. We have a handful.
Yeah, you know, when women scream at each other during the Women Tell All, there's
bound to be some.
A few.
Yeah. First, Tammy tells McKenna, every time a camera was around, you'd always spread your legs.
That's gross.
Yeah. Pretty obviously disgusting. Mm-hmm. Don't use that kind of language. It has a lot of really slut-shamey connotations. Just, yeah, that's a 4.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one. Savannah accuses Victoria P. of being fake, and Lindsay and Sydney accuse Alea of being fake as well. Lots of fakes thrown around. I'm going to give this one a 4. It's just not an insult that gets thrown at men. It's always something that you say to women.
Right. It's sort of akin to that, there's just something about her I don't trust.
Mm-hmm. So she's fake.
Yeah, it's like the runoff from Eve's original sin, basically. Next, the women all yell loudly over each other for about 75% of the women tell all, screaming insults at each other. We're going to give this one a 5. It's frustrating to watch because it feels like few of them have really learned much
anything.
Or reflected since watching themselves on the show. They haven't really learned how to do any conflict resolution, how to treat each other. You don't just scream insults.
People
you don't like.
They weren't talking anything through or talking anything out to find some sort of
common ground or resolution.
It was just a lot of yelling, rude comments, name calling.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. And then we have a humanity fail, which is the online vitriol and racist comments thrown at contestants that we saw read by Rachel Lindsay that were really heartbreaking to see. And no one should ever receive such messages, even if they enter into a public sphere
and
like
reality
TV.
And even if they, you know, are obnoxious and you don't like them.
So
obviously,
that's a 5. Yeah.
Death threats, racist bigotry, always going to be a 5 on the feminism fail scale, the humanity fail scale, just a big ol' fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Allison Williams, and of course our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps, and give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back later this week with a little bonus content. And then next week, we're here for our big, dramatic finale of The Bachelor.
Oh, my God. Can't come soon enough.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.